as Buddy sang that Tracy Dart song, I was thinking about him. He is on our prayer list, I think, and let's keep him on there because he has still not found any donor yet, and he's still on dialysis. And so it's been a mighty long time, but God is still able. Tracy Dart has done such a wonderful, made such a great contribution to Christianity by the songs that he's written and the music that he's provided for Christians across the world. And speaking of that, we have some Thanksgiving to give. Alice got back from the doctor. She got a clean bill of health. We thank God for that. He hears and answers prayer. And appreciate that. This morning we're going to be taking a text from Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. I was intending to preach a sermon on patience, because patience is found 42 times in our New Testament. And there are a lot of good scriptures that talk about patience, about being patient. But I changed my mind. I said I'm going to preach on impatience. There's more impatience in the world today than there is patience, I think. So the majority won. I want to speak about impatience, but this scripture that I want to call to your attention says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And whoever wrote the song added a P.S. to that, says, "Teach me, Lord, to wait." Impatience is a virtue that's learned very early on in life. In fact, it may more accurately be called an instinct that we're all born with. Did you ever notice that when a tiny infant baby gets hungry, he wants to eat right now? And he lets you know it by crying. It doesn't make any difference whether it's convenient for mother or not. He's hungry. He wants to be fed. Now, he sounds like it, but he really isn't starving to death. He's simply showing his impatience. So it starts off young. He's tired of waiting. And this trait or characteristic of human beings does not change through life. Nor is it minimized as the years go by. It's not something you grow out of. No sooner had I gotten my diploma from kindergarten than I wanted to enroll in college. Why waste 12 more years going to school? After all, I could read and write now. And by the way, we got a lot of kids that's getting out of school today, graduating from high school, that can't read or write, I hear. But anyway, impatience. At what age does a teenager become impatient to drive a car? Remember that? And some even try it without their parents' permission and consent. Yeah. Impatience carries over into adulthood. And sometimes it can be downright obnoxious in other people. We have a tendency to overlook it in ourselves. But impatience gets people in trouble. And I got to thinking about some illustrations in the Bible to show us how impatience causes some problems from time to time that has serious effects. We get in a hurry and we fail to wait for God to bring it to pass in His own time. There's a race of people in the world today that we're having some problems with, mostly because of their religion. Now I'm speaking about the Arabs, of course, and their Islamic religion. That's what Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan and Pakistan and all of that, that's what it's all about. And do you know how it got started? By one man's impatience. By the way, there was a woman that was involved in it too, so you women, put your shoes back on. I'm not getting on your toes. Way back in 1892 B.C., God made a covenant promise to a man by the name of Abraham. You can read about it, and I hope you will follow up on this in Genesis chapter 12. And that promise that God made to Abraham was that He would give him a son. He would give him a son to perpetuate and carry on the family name. Now, at the time God made this promise to Abraham, he was 75 years old. His wife was 65. And poor Sarah had been barren all of her life. She was unable to conceive and bear children. And now, in their old age, God is promising them a child. Well, the Bible says they believed God. And God counted their faith for righteousness. But in spite of their faith, they still remained childless. Finally, one day, when Abraham now is 86 years old. Anybody here 86? Everybody's looking at you. 86. Abraham's 86 years old. And Sarah was 76. They, and especially Sarah, began to get impatient. And one day, Sarah just up and said to Abraham, she says, "Abe, look, we've tried and nothing's happened. I give up. If you're ever going to have a child, it's going to have to be by someone else." And she suggested, "You go into my Egyptian handmaid Hagar and have a child by her." So Abraham, in his impatience, hearkened to the voice of his wife. And as a result, a son by the name of Ishmael was born. Abraham raised him up just like he was the fulfillment of God's promise. 13 years went by. And one day, Abraham, who is now 90 years old, and God appeared to him and told him, Abraham, Ishmael is not the one. Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening. She heard what God said to Abraham. And she laughed within herself, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child when I'm old? My Lord being old also? There's a verse in chapter 18, verse 11, says, now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Shall I bear a child? I said that Abraham was 90 years old. He wasn't. He was 99. Sorry. That makes it worse. Because she's 89. Well, history records what happened. When Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90, they sent out birth announcements. Isaac was born. But we're talking about impatience. Neither Abraham nor Sarah waited upon the Lord to work in his own time. And their impatience brought sorrow and distress to this world that is still with us 3,891 years afterwards. We haven't seen the last of it yet. The Jews, the descendants of Isaac, and the Arabs, the descendants of Ishmael, are still at it. And they pose a threat to all the civilized world. I think you ought to know that. Impatience. Another illustration over in 1 Samuel chapter 13. Now this demonstration of impatience did not have quite as serious a consequences as Abraham's did, though it changed the whole course of Hebrew history. Impatience. When you read that chapter, you'll find that the Philistines had gathered their armies together to attack Israel. The Bible says that they came against Israel with 30,000 chariots. Hey, that's a bunch. You talk about a freeway jam. I don't know what kind of roads they had back in those days. 30,000 chariots. And they had 6,000 horsemen. But that's not it. They had some foot soldiers. The Bible says, and people, that's soldiers now, as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. That is a whole bunch. All right, let's look at the other side. What about King Saul and the army of Israel? They had 3,000 men and not a single one of them was armed except Jonathan and Saul. They were the only two that had swords. Well, they were slightly outnumbered. The men of Israel were fearful and distressed, to say the least. You can understand why. 3,000 against all of this multitude. Well, Saul's got a little bit of sense left. He realized that they didn't stand a chance unless they had God on their side. So he called for the prophet Samuel. Well, Samuel, for some reason or other that is not explained in the Bible, was slow in coming. Saul, the king, and his soldiers waited. And they waited. And they waited. 7 days. 1 whole week. They waited. That's a long time when you're facing a formidable foe that might attack you at any time. Now, while they're waiting here, waiting is hard. Now, waiting is a fertile ground for impatience, isn't it? So, Saul's soldiers are getting a little bit restless. Read it. It's fun to read this. They were hiding. They were looking for a hiding place. They were hiding, the Bible says, in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. That means if you turn over a rock, you're going to find an Israeli soldier. If you shake a bush, a soldier's going to fall out. If you look down in a hole, you're going to find another one. By the way, he had a lot of deserters too. During that time, the Bible says the people were scattered from him. It's kind of hard to blame them, but his 3,000 was reduced down to 600. There were 2,400 of his soldiers left. And Saul himself is getting a little anxious. He waited and waited for Samuel to come, and Saul finally grew impatient. Now, he said to somebody standing around him, he said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings." If I can't get the prophet Samuel here to intercede with God, I guess I'm just going to have to intercede myself. And so he's going to usurp the duties of a priest, and that's kind of bad. They brought him these offerings, and, well, like I always say, if you want to get into trouble with God, there's always somebody around that's willing to help you. And sure enough, Saul is offering these burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. And just as soon as this religious ritual is over, the smoke hasn't even cleared yet, here comes Samuel. Now Saul is really in trouble. Samuel looks at him and says, "Why did you do it?" Saul said, "I forced myself." Samuel says, "Saul, you've done foolishly. Now your kingdom will not continue." Saul lost his kingdom because of his impatience. His children and his children's children could never inherit the throne because of that impatient act. What's he going to do? Saul musters these 600 men around him. By the way, even Samuel got up and left. Went home. And I told you that his men were unarmed. He's got 600 out here. Only Saul and Jonathan have swords. You've got to read chapter 14. I'm not going to take that time now. But you've got to read that, otherwise you won't believe what happened. God decided to get in the fight. I like it when God gets into it. They're standing out there and all of a sudden the ground began to tremble. Yeah. And there was an earthquake. Says the earth quaked. But what about all of those Philistines? They started fighting amongst themselves and killing each other until there wasn't a single one of them left. How about that? Every man's sword was against his fellow. All these dead Philistines out there, Saul still got his 600 men. Impatience. But have you ever noticed that a lot of good Bible scholars grow impatient sometime that Jesus isn't coming soon enough for them? There are people like that in the world today. They try to rush it, bring in the kingdom to no avail. They begin setting dates, twisting the word of God, misrepresenting or misinterpreting passages of scripture to fit their own agenda. They don't wait on the Lord. If you don't wait upon the Lord, your strength will not be renewed. That means that you'll grow weak. You'll get out of here and try to fly like an eagle, but you'll keep dragging your feet on the ground. You'll only be flapping your wings. We got some wing flappers. Yes. But you listen to this preacher. Jesus is coming. But I'm not going to get impatient and liquidate all my assets and get a white robe and go out here and stand on top of a high mountain somewhere and wait till he comes. The Bible says for us to occupy until he comes. And the word occupy means to stay busy. Stay busy. Keep on witnessing. Keep on winning souls. Keep on preaching. Keep on teaching. He's going to come soon enough. And he'll be right on time when he gets here. That's all right for us to live in constant anticipation of his coming. But don't become so over-anxious that you get impatient and do something foolish. Jesus reminds us in Matthew chapter 24, in verse 44, he said, "Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." And then right on down in verse 48, he starts talking about a man who grew impatient. And he's talking about a servant. He said, "But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So let's not get impatient, but rather let's be patient. In Luke chapter 21, verse 19, Jesus says, "In your patience possess ye your souls." Be patient. Wait on the Lord. God is a God of patience, we're told in Romans 15, verse 5. And he wants us to be patient and to wait for him. So remember this, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They're the ones that will mount up on wings as an eagle. They're the ones that will run and not grow weary. And they'll walk and not faint. So teach us, Lord, to wait. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you today that you are our God, and that we're your servants. You've saved us by your grace, and you keep us by your power. And Lord, sure, our hearts long for the time when Christ will come. But we've got to stay busy. We have a work to do. We have a job that you've assigned to us, that a work that needs to be done. And no one else can do it except us. So give us the grace, the faith, the patience to continue working and continue doing what you would have us to do until the trumpet sounds and Christ shall come in his own time. We realize, Father, that it's easy for us to grow impatient sometimes. That impatience may show in our conduct toward our fellow man. But we pray that you will not let us get impatient and do things that we ought not to do. So strengthen us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. If there's one here today in this congregation that does not know the Lord, someone here that needs to rededicate their lives or reconsecrate themselves, as it were, to you, we pray that during the invitation they will accept your invitation to come and make things right with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
494.
Let Jesus come into your heart.
If you are tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart.
Will you come today? Is there one here tonight? Let Jesus come into your heart.
Just now you're down as before. Just
the services this evening and come out and be with us. By the way, Wednesday evening we do have a study here in Daniel. We'll be starting the 8th chapter, I think it is, this coming Sunday or Wednesday. So come out and be with us. Bring your Bible. We'll have a time of Bible study.